Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine you have this incredibly powerful general intelligence. It reads, writes, understands, reasons across, tons of subjects. But maybe your goal isn't just general smarts. You need a razor-sharp expert, someone who really gets the nuances of, say, medical diagnostics or like the fine print in financial contracts. Building that kind of specialized intelligence from the ground up with billions of parameters, that's just astronomically difficult and expensive.
It really is. And what's so fascinating here is that LLM fine-tuning is, well, it's precisely the solution to that exact challenge. It's all about taking an AI that's already broadly knowledgeable and giving it this really targeted, almost on-the-job training using specific examples. And we're definitely talking about one of the absolute top trends for 2025 because it represents a fundamental shift, a change in how we get to specialized AI. Instead of needing, millions of examples and weeks, maybe months of training from scratch, you might only need a few thousand really targeted examples. And just a short period of this fine-tuning is not just about efficiency, it's really democratizing access to advanced AI capabilities.
Yeah, that immediately highlights the strategic value, doesn't it? So, okay, our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack what LLM fine-tuning is. We'll explore the key ways it's done, look at some advanced techniques that are pushing the envelope, walk you through the practical steps involved, address some common pitfalls, and then, yeah, gaze a bit into the future. Think of this as your essential shortcut to understanding and leveraging this powerful tool for building specialized AI solutions. Okay, so at its core, LLM fine-tuning is about taking a large language model, right, one of these pre-trained powerhouses built on massive internet data and meticulously focusing its abilities. You're not starting over, you're refining an existing prodigy, basically. Imagine an AI that's like, read the whole internet. Now you want it to be an amazing customer support agent for your company, understanding your specific products, your policies, even your brand voice, or maybe a legal advisor deep in one niche of contract law. Fine-tuning is how you get that precision.
Exactly. It's more like nudging the model's existing knowledge rather than rebuilding it from the ground up. The AI keeps its foundational language skills, its grammar, its vast context understanding, its fluency, but it learns to excel at a very specific task or within a defined domain. Crucially, it's not retraining. It's about a highly efficient, targeted refinement of what the model already knows.
Okay. So when we move from the concept to actually doing it, you mentioned there are basically two main paths: adjust almost everything or just tweak a small part. What's the critical difference there, and what are the trade-offs we need to think about?
That's really the fundamental choice you make. With full fine-tuning, you update all or nearly all of the model's internal parameters using your new task-specific data. This approach gives you the most flexibility. It often gets you the absolute best performance, especially if you have a large, high-quality data set to work with. But there's a significant downside. It demands serious computing power. We're talking high-end GPUs, often multiples. And it comes with risks like overfitting. That's where the model gets too good at your specific data and can't generalize to new examples, or even something called catastrophic forgetting, where it might actually lose some of its broad original knowledge.
Right, forgets how to do basic things because it's so focused.
Precisely. And this is where parameter-efficient fine-tuning, or PEE methods, really come into their own. These techniques are specifically designed to update only a tiny fraction of the model's total parameters. The vast majority of the original model stays frozen, untouched. This drastically cuts down on memory requirements and the compute needed, often with surprisingly little impact on the final performance. So instead of tweaking every single weight, PEFT methods might add a small set of new trainable parameters, or they find clever ways to adjust existing ones indirectly.
So the magic of PFT is finding those minimal but critical adjustment points that give you results close to full fine-tuning, but without that massive cost.
You've got it. For instance, LoRA, that stands for Low Rank Adaptation, it's incredibly popular right now. It works by adding small, trainable matrix pairs to certain layers of the model. Only these new small matrices get trained. Then you have adapter modules. These involve inserting tiny specialized layers in between the existing model layers. Again, only those little adapter layers are trained. And another one is prefix tuning, which learns a small task-specific prefix, basically some tokens that get added to the input, and this influences the model's output without changing the main model weights.
And you mentioned efficiency, but there's one specific PEFT method that really changed the game in terms of accessibility, didn't it? Koolora.
Oh, absolutely. QLoRA, which is quantized LoRA, is a genuine breakthrough. It's brilliant. It combines that LoRA technique with something called 4-bit quantization. Basically, the huge base model is loaded into memory in a highly compressed, low-precision format. This slashes its memory footprint, sometimes by like a factor of 4, because the main model takes up so much less memory when it's quantized. QLOR lets you fine-tune truly massive models, we're talking billions of parameters, often on a single decent consumer-grade GPU, and without a huge drop in performance. Honestly, by 2025, QLOR is pretty much everywhere for cost-effective fine-tuning. It's fundamentally democratized access to state-of-the-art models for smaller teams, even individual researchers.
That is a monumental shift. Makes huge models suddenly reachable. Okay, so beyond these core approaches, what about more advanced techniques? Things emerging are really solidifying in 2025 that push the boundaries of speed or effectiveness.
Yeah, there are definitely some key developments there. One increasingly vital technique is flash attention optimization. This isn't just a minor tweak. It's a really clever algorithm that restructures how the transformer model calculates attention, makes it much faster, and uses significantly less memory. What that means in practice is you can now fine-tune models on much longer documents, longer sequences more efficiently. It cuts down training time and enables new use cases involving lengthy inputs.
Okay, so faster and less memory, hungry for attention. What else?
Another fascinating area is the wider adoption of mixture of experts, or MoE, architectures. The idea here is you divide a massive model into lots of smaller expert subnetworks. For any input, a sort of gating mechanism intelligently routes that input to only the most suitable expert, or maybe a small group of them. This means only a fraction of the whole enormous model is actually active for any specific query, making it incredibly efficient at inference time, but also during fine-tuning. In fine-tuning, MoE lets different experts specialize on different kinds of data. Imagine one expert for legal text, another for casual chat. So the model can maintain multiple highly specialized skills at once without becoming totally unwieldy.
Huh. So it's like having a team of specialists inside one model rather than one generalist trying to do everything.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. And then there are more subtle things, but still impactful, like advanced layer normalization strategies. Normalization is really crucial for keeping the training stable in these deep networks. Even small changes in how it's applied, like whether it's pre-norm or post-norm, can significantly influence how well fine-tuning works. And many practitioners also use techniques like gradually unfreezing layers. You start by fine-tuning just the top layers, then slowly unfreeze and train lower, more fundamental layers. It helps prevent disrupting the model's core knowledge too aggressively early on.
It definitely sounds like there's a real art to getting this right beyond just the basic steps. Now, let's shift focus a bit. How is fine-tuning tailored to different specific goals? What does this mean for you, the listener, thinking about the kind of specialized AI you might want?
Right, so a really critical strategy here is instruction tuning. This involves fine-tuning a model specifically on examples of instructions paired with ideal responses. It literally teaches the model to follow commands better, to be helpful, to act like an assistant. Think about how models like ChatGPT respond so well to prompts. Instruction tuning is a huge part of that behavioral training. Mm-hmm. If your AI needs to understand user requests and respond precisely, this is fundamental.
Okay, so teaching it to follow directions, basically.
Yeah. Then there's domain adaptation fine-tuning. This is all about focusing the model on a specific field or industry. So you take a general LLM and fine-tune it only on, say, vast amounts of medical research papers and clinical notes. It rapidly becomes much, much better at understanding medical jargon, answering related questions accurately, and adopting the right factual tone for that domain. This ensures your AI speaks the language, literally and figuratively, of fields like finance, law, or specialized engineering.
So it's not just about being polite, like instruction tuning, but about having real, deep knowledge in a niche.
Exactly right. And a third powerful strategy is multitask learning. Here, you fine-tune the model on several different tasks at the same time, rather than just one. You might mix datasets for, say, translation, summarization, and question answering, and train a single model on all of them. The idea is the model learns to handle diverse prompts and becomes more versatile. Often, training on related tasks can actually boost overall performance as the model learns general skills that help across the board. The main challenge, of course, is balancing these different tasks during training so one doesn't overpower the others.
Right, juggling multiple goals. Okay, moving from the what and how to the really practical side. Choosing the right settings, the hyperparameters. This sounds absolutely crucial for a successful fine-tune. The art of tuning, indeed.
Oh, it is. Hyperparameter optimization is definitely key. First, let's talk learning rate. When you're fine-tuning, you almost always use a much, much smaller learning rate than when you train a model from scratch, like orders of magnitude smaller sometimes. Remember, you're just making gentle adjustments to an already well-trained model, not trying to learn everything from zero. Typically, you might use a schedule, maybe a short warm-up where the rate increases slightly, then a slow decay over the rest of training. This keeps things stable.
Okay, so tiny learning rate. Got it. What else?
Next up, batch size. That's how many examples you process in one go during training. Larger batches can lead to smoother training updates and better hardware use, but they need a lot more GPU memory specifically. For LLM fine-tuning, you're often limited by your GPU memory. Sometimes your batch size might only be 8 examples, or 16, pretty small. But there's a clever trick called gradient accumulation. You calculate the gradients for several small batches and only update the model weights after accumulating them. This effectively simulates a much larger batch size, giving you some of those stability benefits, even if your hardware can't fit a large batch all at once.
Ah, okay, a workaround for memory limits. Smart. And you definitely don't want to cook it too long, right? How do you know when to stop training to get the best result?
Exactly. That's where early stopping mechanisms are vital. The idea is simple. You monitor the model's performance on a separate validation data set, one it doesn't train on. When the performance on that validation set stops improving, or maybe even starts getting worse for a few checks in a row, you just stop the training. In fine-tuning, it's pretty common for performance to peak after just a few epochs, maybe even just one or two passes through the data. Early stopping prevents overfitting, where the model just memorizes the training data, and it ensures you capture the best version of your model before it starts degrading.
Makes perfect sense. Capture the peak performance. Okay, so with all these strategies and settings, what kinds of base models are people usually starting with? What are the AI building blocks for this?
Generally, these pre-trained LLMs fall into three broad architectural types. First, you have encoder models, think BERT or Roberta. These models are fantastic at understanding text. They create rich representations, like summaries or embeddings, of the input. This makes them perfect for tasks like text classification, figuring out sentiment, detecting spam, or information extraction, like pulling names and dates from a document. The key thing to remember, encoders analyze text. They don't really generate new text fluently.
Okay, understanding and analysis. Got it.
Then you have the decoder models. These are the famous ones, like OpenAI's GPT series or Meta's Llama. These are architected specifically for text generation. You give them a prompt and they continue writing, generating text. So they're ideal for creative writing, summarization where you want a new summary written, or building conversational chatbots. Fine-tuning a decoder lets you create a custom chatbot, a specialized content writer, an agent that speaks in your brand's voice. And despite their often huge size, like we said, LoRa and Kiora make fine-tuning even these giants feasible, sometimes on just one GPU.
Right. So if you want your AI to create or write text, a decoder is probably your starting point.
Pretty much. And finally, there are hybrid models, often called encoder-decoder architectures. Google's T5 or Facebook's BART are good examples. These are designed for tasks where you need to transform an input text sequence into a different output text sequence. Classic examples are machine translation input English, output French, or summarization, where you input a long article and output a shorter one. Fine-tuning these involves training both the encoder part to understand the input and the decoder part to generate the output. They're very flexible, treating almost everything as a text-to-text problem.
That clears things up a lot. So, okay, if you're listening and thinking about diving in yourself, it sounds like there's a pretty clear, methodical path to follow for fine-tuning. Can you walk us through that general step-by-step process?
Absolutely. It usually follows a consistent pattern. First step, clearly define your task and select an appropriate base model. What exactly do you need the AI to do? Based on that, choose your model, maybe an encoder like BERT for classification, a decoder like Llama for chat, and importantly, check its language support, its size, can your hardware handle it,
great,
and its license, is it open source, are there restrictions?
Okay, define the job, pick the tool, step one.
Step two, prepare and pre-process your data set. This is often the most time-consuming part. You gather your task-specific data, maybe customer interactions, legal docs, whatever it is, and clean it up thoroughly. You'll need to format it consistently. For instruction tuning, that might be instruction response pairs. Then you tokenize the text using the specific tokenizer that comes with your chosen model. That's crucial. And finally, split your data into a training set for learning and a validation set for monitoring progress and preventing overfitting.
Right. Data prep is always key. Then what?
Third, configure your training parameters. This is where you set all those hyperparameters we talked about. Your very low learning rate, the batch size your hardware can manage, maybe using gradient accumulation, the number of training epochs, usually just a few for fine-tuning. You'll also pick an optimizer. AdamW is super common and generally works well. And if you're using PEFT, you can configure its specific settings, like the parameters for LoRAI.
Okay, set all the dials, ready to go.
Pretty much. Step four is execute the fine-tuning. You actually start the training job. usually on a GPU or TPU, either locally or in the cloud. While it's running, you need to monitor it. Watch the training loss go down. Critically, watch the performance on your validation set. Is it improving? If things look weird, loss isn't decreasing, validation performance is stuck first, you might need to stop, tweak your settings, and restart. Fine-tuning can take anywhere from, minutes for small tasks to many hours for large models and data sets. Active monitoring is important.
Okay, run it and watch it closely.
Fifth, after training finishes, maybe because it completed the epochs or early stopping kicked in, you have to rigorously evaluate your model's performance. Look at the quantitative metrics for your task, sure, accuracy, F1 score, whatever makes sense, but also manually review a good sample of its actual outputs. Is it generating sensible text? Is it following instructions? Does it meet your quality bar? This qualitative check is super important to know if it's really ready for prime time.
Don't just trust the numbers, look at the results. Makes sense. Final step.
Finally, step six, deploy and monitor. You integrate your shiny new fine-tuned model into your application, maybe expose it via an API, and then, crucially, you keep watching it in the real world. Track its performance, its response times, its accuracy on live data. Gather user feedback. Is it helpful? Is it making mistakes? Based on this ongoing monitoring, you'll know when it might be time to retrain it with fresh data or tweak it further to keep it performing well.
Right. It's a cycle, not just a one-shot deal. Okay, now, while this sounds incredibly powerful, fine-tuning isn't magic. Like any advanced technique, it surely comes with its own challenges, right? Pitfalls to watch out for.
That's definitely true. It's not always smooth sailing. One major one we touched on is overfitting and catastrophic forgetting. If your fine-tuning dataset is too small or too narrow, the model can easily overfit. It becomes brilliant on your specific data, but fails on anything slightly different. And the flip side, catastrophic forgetting is a real risk. The model gets so specialized, it literally forgets some of its general knowledge. We talked about the legal LLM maybe forgetting how to make small talk. To fight this, use that low learning rate, keep epochs minimal, maybe mix in some general data with your specific data, and definitely use early stopping based on validation performance.
So it's about finding that balance getting specialized without losing the broad intelligence that made the base model useful in the first place.
Exactly. Another significant challenge is, computational cost. Fine-tuning large LLMs, even using efficient PEFT methods, can still be expensive. Models with billions of parameters often need powerful hardware. We're talking high-end GPUs or TPUs, often needing 40 GB, 80 GB or more VRAM each. Often you need multiple GPUs working together. If you're using cloud platforms, these specialized instances can rack up costs quickly, especially for longer training runs. Now, techniques like PFT and especially Kilora have made a massive difference here. They've dramatically reduced the compute needed, making it accessible to many more people. But resource planning and budgeting are still really important considerations.
Okay, so costs are still a factor, even with the efficiencies. Given that if we connect this to the bigger picture, where are most people actually doing this kind of large-scale fine-tuning work? Is it mostly cloud-based now?
For many organizations, yeah, cloud platforms are definitely the go-to. The big three in 2025 are undoubtedly AWS SageMaker, Google Vertex AI, and Microsoft Azure ML. AWS SageMaker offers powerful cloud GPU instances, managed environments specifically for training, tools for distributed training across multiple machines, even automatic hyperparameter tuning. And it plugs right into the whole AWS ecosystem.
Okay, AWS. What about Google?
Google Vertex AI is also huge. You can fine-tune models directly on Google Cloud, taking advantage of their custom TPUs, which can be incredibly fast for this stuff. They have a model garden with lots of pre-trained models ready to go, a pretty streamlined interface, plus tools for deploying your fine-tuned model as an auto-scaling endpoint, and even monitoring for things like bias or data drift over time.
And Microsoft.
Yep, Microsoft Azure ML is the third major player. It lets you fine-tune on Azure's infrastructure, offering GPU clusters and strong integration with the Microsoft ecosystem. A big draw for Azure is often the direct access to OpenAI's powerful models through the Azure OpenAI service, which you can then fine-tune within Azure's secure environment. Plus, it has solid enterprise features for experiment tracking, managing models, and security.
Right. The big three cloud providers are heavily invested. We've covered the present, the process. Let's look ahead. What does the future hold for LLM fine-tuning? What's coming next?
Ooh, the future here is moving incredibly fast. One big trend is towards automated fine-tuning. We're seeing AutoML tools emerge that are specifically designed for LLMs. They aim to find the optimal fine-tuning settings, hyperparameters, maybe even the best PEFT method, with much less manual trial and error. That'll make customization even easier.
AutoML for fine-tuning. Interesting.
Then there's the whole area of multimodal LLMs. Fine-tuning in the near future won't just be about text. It'll increasingly involve models that understand and generate across different modalities, text, images, audio, maybe even video, all integrated. Fine-tuning these will open up completely new kinds of applications.
Yeah, models that can see and hear as well as read.
Exactly. And privacy-aware fine-tuning is becoming hugely important, too. With regulations like GDPR, there's a big push for techniques that let you fine-tune models without needing to pool all the sensitive data in one place. Think federated learning, where the model learns on decentralized data, or using differential privacy to add noise and protect individual data points. This will be crucial for compliance. And finally, just expect continued improvements in efficiency. Faster training algorithms, techniques to make models smaller and cheaper to run after fine-tuning, making specialized AI truly ubiquitous.
These advancements also raise some really practical questions for you, the listener. Like, how does fine-tuning actually differ if you're using an open-weight model versus a proprietary one, maybe through an API?
Yeah, that's a critical distinction to understand. When you fine-tune open-weight LLMs models, where the creators have released the actual model weights, like Llama or Mistral, you have complete access. You download the weights. You have full control over the entire fine-tuning process on your own infrastructure or cloud setup. You can inspect the model, modify it deeply if you want, and you own the resulting fine-tuned model completely. With proprietary LLMs, typically accessed via an API from companies like OpenAI or Anthropic, you usually don't get direct access to the model weights. Fine-tuning, if they offer it, happens through their platform, often with specific limitations or requirements. You upload your data, they run the process, and you get access to your custom endpoint. So OpenWeight gives you total flexibility and ownership, but requires more technical setup. Proprietary offers convenience and often access to cutting-edge base models, but comes with dependence on the provider and less control.
Right. Control versus convenience. And speaking of control and data, what about regulations like GDPR? How does that practically impact fine-tuning?
It has a significant impact. If your fine-tuning dataset includes personal information relating to EU residents, GDPR applies. You absolutely need a lawful basis like consent or legitimate interest to process that data for training. You should proactively anonymize or pseudonymize personal data as much as possible before using it. And individuals have rights, like the right to erasure, the right to be forgotten. If someone whose data was in your training set asks for it to be removed, you technically need to remove it. This could be really tricky with trained models. It might mean deleting the data and potentially retraining the model from scratch without that data, which can be costly. So in practice, it means really rigorous data governance, careful checks of your training data for privacy compliance, and increasingly exploring those privacy-preserving techniques like federated learning or differential privacy where feasible.
Okay, serious data governance needed there. Finally, for those really thinking about the infrastructure side, maybe setting up their own system, what hardware is actually optimal for doing large-scale fine-tuning today?
Yeah, for serious large-scale LLM fine-tuning, you really need high-memory, high-performance GPUs. We're talking professional-grade GPUs here, like NVIDIA's A100s or H100s, ideally with 40GB, 80GB, or even more VRAM per card. Memory is often the biggest bottleneck. For the really big models, you'll often need multiple GPUs working together in parallel. This means you also need very fast connections between those GPUs, like NVLink, so they aren't waiting on each other. Beyond the GPUs themselves, you also need a pretty powerful CPU, lots of system RAM, and crucially, very fast storage like NVMe SSDs to feed data to the GPUs quickly enough. You don't want your expensive GPU sitting idle waiting for data. Of course, if buying all that hardware isn't practical, the cloud providers offer instances specifically equipped with these high-end configurations available on demand, which is why they're so popular.
Got it. High-end GPUs, lots of memory, fast, everything else. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, it's really clear that LLM fine-tuning isn't just a niche technique anymore. It's become this efficient shortcut. It's the way to adapt those incredibly powerful general pre-trained LLMs to very specific, nuanced needs. It's how organizations are getting these remarkable, hyper-specialized AI solutions today, crucially without that monumental cost and effort of building from absolute scrap.
Absolutely. And understanding these methods, the concepts, the techniques like PET and QLRA, it really empowers empowers you to leverage advanced AI for precise, specialized tasks. It's all about taking that broad foundational knowledge that these huge models have and carefully honing it into an incredibly sharp, domain-specific tool that fits your unique goals. It really makes advanced, tailored AI solutions genuinely accessible for countless applications now.
And that really gets you thinking, doesn't it? When you consider the speed of these advancements we've talked about, the increasing drive for efficiency, personalization, privacy, how might the continued evolution of fine-tuning techniques reshape industries, maybe in ways we can't even fully imagine right now? What specific domain, what particular task might you want an AI to specialize in? And how could fine-tuning be the key to finally unlocking that untapped potential?